Well, this is an awesome, they got a stand for your water bottle and everything? That's awesome. Yeah, well, thank you guys for having us here today. Yeah, as Paul shared, we're planning on moving to Utah, wanting to go make some disciples. And so, yeah, covet your guys' prayers in that process. But yeah, my name is Vince. I'm currently the youth pastor at Salt Creek Baptist Church over in Dallas, Oregon, on the other side of the mountains and the hills. But yeah, let me just pray for us as we dive into God's word. Dear Father, we come before you. We thank you that you are a God that desires to be made known, that you have made yourself known through your son Jesus, through your word, that we might know you and walk with you. Father, we come before you and ask that you would just tune our hearts and minds to you, that we would hear from you from your word, that we would follow you more closely and know you more fully. We ask your blessing on our time here. Would I be true to your word and relevant to your people? We pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, I grew up kind of a country boy. We grew up kind of in farm country, but my dad, he wasn't really big on like survival skills. So like I didn't really learn how to build a fire. Like our idea of building a fire was, hey, let's get all the stuff that we need to burn, throw it in, let's throw a match on there, and then let's get the propane torch out, and we're just going to crank her up, and it was one of us boys' job just to blast that thing with propane for like 10 minutes until the fire started. There was no need for kinder, no tindling. When you got propane, you don't need to build up a fire. You can make fire happen, right? And so that was how I learned to start a fire. And when I was in college, I had a bunch of friends up from Corbin to my parents' house. And it was like, you know, you felt like as a country boy, like, man, I got to show people that I know how to start a fire. But the propane torch, I couldn't find that, you know. And so I'm sitting there struggling to get the fire going. And I was like, man, I've seen my dad do this before, you know, with some diesel. We can use some diesel to start this fire. And so these are ways not to start a fire, in case you're wondering, you students out there. But I had the smarts to know, you know, I can't just pour the diesel on the semi trying to go fire. You know, that wouldn't go good. And so I put it in one of my mom's, like, gardening buckets. And went out there, and I was like, you know, I can't pour it because it'll catch on fire and the whole thing. But if I just splash it a little bit, like, that should work, all right? You know, my friends are around. The fire's, like, struggling, but we just want a fire. We want to hang out outside and enjoy the bonfire. So I go, and I splash it on, and, I mean, the bucket catches on fire. I have diesel on my hands, like, it's on fire. I'm shaking it off. I'm, like, dipping it in the pond, and I drop the bucket. And so we got, like, a bucket of diesel burning, and the fire is now actually going, you know. And so we ended up getting rid of the bucket of diesel and putting that out, and we ended up enjoying our time around a bonfire. And, like, if you're like me, like, I love a bonfire. Like, there's something special about just grabbing some chairs, sitting around the bonfire, and just the warmth and beauty of a bonfire, right? Just sitting and enjoying it and conversing. And as I was thinking about our passage this morning, like we long to be people with that beauty, with that warmth, where people are drawn in, right? We want long to be people of excellence, of magnitude. Or when people look at our lives, they're drawn in. They find themselves just rejoicing in our presence like a well-burning bonfire. Like, we want to be these people of character, but yet so often in life, we wrestle with feeling like we're lacking, like we're not good enough. We feel weak, we feel fallen, and we're struggling to be people that draw people in to delight in a character that reflects Jesus. So how do we become those types of people? How do we become those types of people that people are drawn to because they see the person of Jesus in us? And we're going to look in 2 Peter today, and we're going to see how Jesus has given us everything we need to become like him. We're going to see how Jesus has held nothing back to enable us to become like him. And we're going to look at this in 2 Peter in a couple of different ways. First, we're going to look at the foundation. How do we build a foundation of a life that is on fire for God, that is becoming like him? What's that foundation? Then we're going to look at the proper accelerant, okay? Instead of going and grabbing the diesel, how do we properly add fuel to a fire? And then lastly, we're going to look at a takeaway. How does this impact and shape our lives? So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, I'm going to read it for us here. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be provided richly for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're going to see here, the foundation is that we are enabled by the person, by the power, and the provision of Jesus to become more like Jesus. Like, we are enabled by the person, by the power, and the provision of Jesus to become more like him. So the simple foundation, like, is that we have to receive what Jesus has provided. We have to receive what only Jesus can provide for us. Look at verse 2. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the first foundation is that we have to be recipients of what only Jesus can provide, and that's a righteousness that's not our own. Like, it starts with a faith in Jesus that's made possible by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross to declare us righteous and to save us from our sins. Like, look at the language here. To those who have obtained, may grace be multiplied to you. His divine power has granted to us. Him who has called us. Like, all that language is that we are recipients. It's that God has done something, and we are receiving what he has done for us. God did the work of calling. God did the work of providing. Ours is of receiving and responding to him in faith. The person, the power, and the provision of Jesus, they enable us to become more like him. Look at verse 3 through 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We lack nothing when it comes to pursuing after Jesus. Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Like, his divine power has given us everything we need, not just for eternal life, but also for life in the here and the now, to become more like him. To live this life, to pursue after him, to become more like him, to glorify him. Like, his power has given us everything we need to live for him. Like, this means we lack, like, everything in our own means. We lack everything to become like Jesus. But we also lack nothing because of God's provision that we can become like him. Like, God's held nothing back from us by the way of power, promises, and provision, or the personal presence of himself to help us grow and become like Jesus. Like, we're given this intimate knowledge. Verse 3, or it's through the knowledge of him who called us. This knowledge isn't just intellectual knowledge. It's this intimate relational knowledge of Jesus. This intimate knowledge is the source of our spiritual growth and power. Like, his power is given to us. His divine power is given to us through the person of Christ, who then brings the very great and precious promises of Jesus to us, so that we can become like Jesus, so that we can become partakers of his divine nature. I mean, how crazy is that, that we have been enabled because of God's provision, because of his person, because of his work on the cross, to be able to become like him in glory and excellence. Like, this doesn't mean that we can become like God and we can walk on water and do all these crazy things and just have omnipotence and omniscience. Like, but we in God's nature can become like him in his righteousness, in his character, in his holiness. Man, how awesome is that? It's through this intimate knowledge of Jesus that we're transformed, that we're changed, that we continually become more and more like him. Like, verse 2, he's praying, may this grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And verse 3, through the knowledge of him who called us. Like, this work of becoming more like Jesus is done through, like, knowing Jesus intimately and fully. Jesus has not only given of himself, but he's revealed himself. He's called us to himself. Like, it's Jesus himself that draws us to him. Like, it's not our own choosing him, but it's his glory and excellence, right? Through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Like, we didn't just choose God because we were smart enough or we figured it out, but because of who Jesus is, he's drawn us into a relationship with him. He saved us and called us into this life with him, to delight in him above all else. Like, Jesus has fully provided for us to become partakers in his nature. Like, this partaking in the divine nature. This is the aspect of transformation where we are gradually becoming more and more like Jesus as we're drawn into a deeper and more full relationship with him. Like, and he's made this possible because he's delivered us from sin and restored us into a new relationship with him. Like, you see this, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Like, because of Jesus' work on the cross, we're delivered from sin. We're delivered from bondage to sin. We're set free and delivered into a relationship with God where we've been declared righteous, not because of what we've done or what we brought to the table, but because of who Jesus is and his taking our place. We're declared righteous. But then he's also given us everything we need to continually become more and more of who he has already declared us to be. He's given us everything we need. He's enabled us to become like him, to partake in his nature. Like, and this means that we can't get passive. We can't just sit back and get lazy because God desires to do an incredible work in us, changing us and helping us become more like Jesus. It's because he's given us everything we need and enabled us that he calls us to continue adding to the fire that is our faith, that we'd continue to grow in becoming more and more like him. So the foundation is that we're enabled by the person, by the power, and the provision of Jesus to become like him. And the proper accelerant is that we, as people of faith, are to be motivated by Jesus to become more like him. Like, our motivation is Jesus and Jesus alone. Like, sometimes we can put on the wrong accelerant. Like, we can go about life and we can try to be starting this fire of sanctification and becoming more like Jesus, and we can start approaching it in the wrong ways, where we're throwing on the accelerant in the wrong ways. And sometimes our accelerant is we have this self-focused, self-improvement mindset, where we look at where we're lacking and where we're not quite who we know that we should be, and our focus becomes to be on ourself, to focus on how can we improve ourselves and make us more like Jesus. And we have this tendency to divorce the saving grace of Jesus from the sanctifying or growing grace of Jesus. We think that we're saved by grace, and yes, but then we begin to try to live our lives and try to become more like Jesus and try to live the Christian life by our own means, by our own power, relying on ourselves. How can we improve ourselves? And we look at this list here, and it goes on, and we can end to put on the onus on ourselves. I need to be better. I need to do better. How can I improve my character? Okay, I need to be better in these areas of my life. And when we put the focus on ourselves and our shortcomings, we end up falling into this legalistic mindset and approach to spiritual growth. Like, even our greatest efforts are just laced with legalism. We begin to want to become more virtuous so that we can feel better about ourselves. Or we try to practice self-control so we can feel more like we're in control. Or we try to be more pious and godly so that we can compare ourselves to others and feel better about ourselves. Or we try to care for others and show this brotherly affection so that we can be recognized. And the problem is if we approach our spiritual growth with a self-centered, selfish mindset, it ends up leading us away from Jesus and experiencing his grace and power that actually enables us to become more like him. And this is why faith is the prerequisite for transformation. Like, faith is the prerequisite, that is a complicated word, for transformation. And the reality is if we're living our lives and we're lacking transformation, it's revealing a lack of faith in Jesus and a faulty world focus. Like, this is where he says in verse 8, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." Like, if we're living in our lives and we're not seeing transformation, if we're not in pursuit of becoming more like Jesus, then that should reveal something about our faith, about what we believe about the person and the provision and the promises of Jesus. Like, our vision will become nearsighted. The gospel will become blurry. Like, we'll become, like, blind to the fact that we've been cleansed from our sins, that we've been made new, that we've been declared righteous, and God desires to work in us, to grow us in his grace, to become more like him. And the focus begins to get on ourselves and on our day and on the world and on things of the world. And man, the reality is if we're living with this contentment of, like, I got faith and that's good, and I'm just going to kick back and just enjoy my life, then we're missing out on recognizing who Jesus is. That our faith is short-sighted. It's nearsighted. We're missing that full picture of who Jesus is, because when we fully recognize who Jesus is, that causes a response in us of full surrender and pursuit of him. And this you may be a saved believer, but living neglecting the glory and excellence of Jesus and provision to helping you become more like him. Man, so if we're sitting in those seasons of lack of becoming like Jesus or a lack of a desire to become like him, then that should give us pause. Do I really recognize who Jesus is? Do I really recognize his glory, his excellence, his love, his grace, not only to save me, but to work in me that I can experience his presence and power in my life? See, this is a reality, though, is that transformation or growing in Christ-likeness, as much as I wish, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen, right? It's not like we just wake up out of bed and we just, you know, go to church and automatically it's like, man, we walk out of here and we're just automatically more holy people. Wouldn't that be nice? Like, if you just go to church or read your Bible and just automatic, you're like, all right, I feel more holy. Like, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't happen passively. And this is where what Peter says, make every effort. Be diligent, verse 10, to make your calling and election sure. Like, we're to give every effort in this process. It doesn't just happen. But we have to make every effort through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the provision of Jesus, to become more like him. So it's not that we're doing this by our own means and our own strength. No, but we're partnering with what God has already done and is desiring to do in us. So we're surrendering, we're pursuing after him. See, true faith is manifest in a desire to know intimately and join in what God has already done for us in declaring us to be righteous and desiring to help us become like him. And we're called to add to our faith, right? Like, faith is the prerequisite. And this is why he says, like, add to your faith these other things. Because it starts with faith, and from faith flows this pursuit of Jesus and seeking to become more like him. Like, with everything we have, we're completely surrendering to the gracious provision of Jesus to grow. Like, we're seeking to become more virtuous. This is like this moral excellence, which is the exact same word that he uses to describe Jesus in verse 3. This excellence, that we're seeking to become like Jesus in his excellence, in his holiness. Like, in knowledge. But to add to your faith, virtue, and virtue, knowledge. This is focused on this intimate knowledge of Jesus. That we want to know Jesus more fully. Know him more closely. That we're enamored with him. We want to know him intimately. We're to add self-control. This means keeping our passions under control. This steadfastness, not giving in or giving up in adversity and hard times. This godliness, this reverence and pursuit of God above all else. And then he transitions, he goes from personal characters to that are about like your inner life to a couple of characters that affect how you relate with others. Like, we're to grow in brotherly kindness, right? Being fervent in care for others' needs. And then finally, to love, like seeking the highest good of someone else. Again, I want you to see that it starts with faith as the foundation. And the list like progresses and it builds to love. Like, that we're to be people who love one another like Jesus. Like, faith is the root and love is the goal, that we would be people who are becoming more and more like Jesus for the sake of others. That God desires to work in us, to change us, to become more like him, so that we could love others like he loves them. Man, we're people becoming more and more like him. We see this motivation to become like Jesus comes from the gospel. Like, there's no other motivation but what Jesus has already done for us. This is why Peter starts and he unpacks the gospel and what God has done and how he's enabled us in this life of following him. And then in verse 5, he says 4 very important words. Like, man, underline these if you're an underliner. For this very reason. Because of what Jesus has done, make every effort to continue to become more and more like him. It's the grace of Jesus that ignites a response and a desire to become more like him. There's no greater motivation to becoming more like Jesus than reflecting on and remembering what he has done. And a little bit later, we're going to get to partake in the Lord's Supper and remember and celebrate his grace. And as we do so, that act of transformation begins to be at work in our life as we're celebrating who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And his grace begins to draw us into a pursuit of becoming more like him. The person of Jesus has saved us and called us. Like, he's the one of all glory and excellence. He is worthy of our everything. And so we respond in worship. And I want you to see this transformation is rooted in and secured by Jesus's grace. Like, we're simply called to add to our faith a pursuit of becoming more like him through grace. Grace cannot happen. I mean, transformation cannot happen apart from the grace of God. And this is to be like an ongoing pursuit. Like, this is where, like, transformation, it doesn't just happen. It's not just a moment, like, you just, you know, you go, by, like, ladies, if your husbands are on the men's retreat, I'm sorry, they're not going to come back and automatically just be, like, better men. It's going to be a process. But hopefully that retreat, they're beginning to behold and treasure Jesus, and God begins to use that in their life, and they enter more and more into this journey of seeking to become men who reflect Jesus. And so hopefully it's that starting point, and that's in our lives that we're on this journey. It's this process of becoming more and more like him. And this is what growth is. Like, if any of you have had a growth spurt, like, it's a painful thing. Right? If you have kids that go, like, I've never had a growth spurt, as you can tell, but I've been told that it's a painful process. That you know, like, you're growing and your bones are stretching, things are being strengthened, and it's hard. It's a painful thing. Like, our daughter's always like, oh, my legs are so sore, and it's like, you know, mom's rubbing them or whatever, and like, it's painful. It's a process. And this is transformation. Of becoming more and more like him, that sometimes it's a little painful because we're after dying to ourselves. But there's beauty in it as we're growing to become more and more like Jesus. Man, this becoming more like Jesus is the fire that keeps our faith growing, that keeps our faith, like, brings a sense of confidence. This transforming faith is a result of diligently pursuing and knowing Jesus' person and provision through the gospel. Like, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Like, this aspect of surrendering to God and seeking to become more and more like him is like fuel to the fire of our faith, that it keeps us being fruitful and effective in our pursuit of him. Like, he goes on in verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. See, becoming like Jesus brings a confidence in the reality of your salvation. As we're becoming more and more like Jesus, there's a sense of confidence that we get in what God has actually done for us. Now, this isn't like securing or solidifying our salvation. That's not what Peter's getting about, because we can't do that, right? Our salvation has been secured by the blood of Jesus that was shed for us on the cross. But this is about finding assurance and confidence in our faith, in the outworking of our faith. That is, we're becoming more and more like Jesus. We're experiencing his divine power at work in us. And we're like, man, our God is real. I've seen how he's changed me. I've seen how he's grown me. And it gives us this assurance and confidence of who Jesus is, of his provision. Like, this transformation, it should be like the silent proof of our faith in Jesus. Just like a good bonfire, right? Like, if you're around a good bonfire and your eyes are closed, I mean, you can feel the warmth. You can smell the aroma of maybe some good oak being burnt. Like, you're drawn in, it draws your attention. And this should be our faith. that in our faith, as we're growing and becoming more and more like Jesus, that transformation and becoming more like Jesus should be this aroma that draws our attention and affections to celebrate the grace of Jesus to not only save us, but to change us. And as we celebrate his gracious work, like we're reminded of his rich provision of entering into his kingdom, right? Verse 11, for in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Like this adds greater fuel to the motivation of becoming like Jesus, that we stand to face a warm celebratory welcome into the kingdom of God because of what Jesus has done for us. And there's no greater motivation in this life than the person and work of Jesus. So as we go out this week looking for motivation to become like Jesus, I want to encourage you to put this into practice. And as I was wrestling with this, how does this work out in our life? And I was in the airport, and I was in Texas finishing up a class while I was in seminary and waiting to fly back home and see my family. And we're flying out in the morning. And they come on the intercom, and we're all sitting around waiting. It's like early morning, like 7 a.m. or something. Got my coffee, and they're like, we're sorry, but there's going to be a delay. Something's broken with the plane. They're working on it. We're not sure how long it's going to take. And so everybody just, you know, it's just like, oh, awesome. And we're sitting there, and like an hour later, they come on. We're like, yeah, we're sorry, but this is looking like it's not going to be till later night. We have to fly a part in from Denver to get the plane fixed. And so immediately, like everybody in the terminal and our gate, everybody's making phone calls. They're up at the check stand. The line's huge. Everybody's trying to like find their own flight, try to figure out how to make things happen so that they can get to where they need to be. And I sat there, and my family was away visiting some her parents, and it was like, I'm just stuck here. Like, you know what? It is what it is. I'm going to just hang out, enjoy my time at the airport, and I'm going to trust that the airline will get me home because they said they would, and I paid them to. So I'm going to trust them. And so the whole day goes past, and man, I had a great time in the airport. I had my Bible, got stuff done, and just did a bunch of just different stuff and just worked and studied and enjoyed my time at the airport. And the evening came, and it was like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night, and we show up, and our flight's ready, and I'm standing there with three other people to board a 737. Like, so here we go. We enter into the airplane, and, you know, I'm going to go, like, to the back of the plane because that's, you know, where I sit on an airplane because I'm a pastor. And it's like, stewardess, there's only four of us. Can we sit first class? Yeah, come on up. So we all sit first class. You know, stewardesses are actually sitting first class with us. You know, they're like, you know, across the aisle. Do you need anything? You want anything? Anything you want, it's on us, you know? And my one and only time in my life, I got to fly first class. And there's a sense because I waited and trusted in the provision of the airline, I reaped a reward. And there's something in this, in our faith, that as we like try to take things on ourselves, as we're struggling with sin, if we're trying to become more like Jesus and we're trying to figure these things out on our own, we're going to miss out on the provision that only Jesus can bring, his divine power, his provision, his enablement to become more and more like him. Like, we got to shift our focus to Jesus and his provision, to trust in him. And when we do so, it's like we're flying first class with Jesus, reaping the rewards and benefits of everything that Jesus has done for us. We have to stop trying to do things on our own and trust in Jesus and what he provides. We have to shift our focus off of our failures, off of our inadequacies, off of our shortcomings to Jesus. Like, it's a grace to recognize where we fall short. Like, that's God's grace in my life when he reveals to me, hey, Vince, you need to grow in this. But I can't stay there. I have to take that and look to Jesus to help me grow and become more like him in that. If I'm trying to do this on my own and trying to improve myself and rely on myself to make myself a better person, it's only going to lead to deeper bondage. I'm going to end up on a different crowded airplane with a bunch of people, with somebody who I'm fighting for the armrest with. But if you sit back and you look to the provision of Jesus, man, you will experience his grace at work in your life, helping you become more and more like him. So I want to encourage you this week, man, where you lack, to look to the provision of Jesus. Like, as you recognize this week, areas that you lack or you feel you fall short or you wish you more reflected the grace of Jesus, I want to encourage you to recognize those, but then to look to the provision of Jesus, his divine nature, his divine power has granted you everything you need to become more like him. I want you to recognize, man, if you are desiring to become more like Jesus, let that be the aroma of God's gracious work in your life, that he is wanting to draw you into him, to help you become more like him. So thank him and partner with him, making every human effort by the power of the Holy Spirit, with a mind centered on the person and provision of Jesus, to believe in his glory and his excellence and his grace, to fully pursue after him and understanding his incredible provision through his son. Let me pray. Father, we just come before you and thank you for your grace. I thank you for your provision of your son, Jesus. I thank you for your enablement that because of Jesus, because of his work on the cross, that we can become more and more like him. Thank you that you've not left us alone, but that you daily seek to empower us through your grace and the power of your Spirit. Will we be people that more and more surrender to you, to look to you, to become more and more like you? We pray these things in your name.